Hello, and welcome to the world of Pokemon. My name is Nick, but these guys call me their Game Master. And you're listening to Pokemon Rollout, a real play Pokemon Tabletop United RPG podcast. What's your name?
You know, more often than not, when Nick does that, it means like we are gonna, like, it's gonna happen. What I just said is gonna happen. But, hi, I'm Paul, and I play Charlie Come At Me Bro Pine.
I'm Michael, and I play Professor Rudimentus Sneeze.
No! I'm Lydia, and I play Liliana Wiggly Worm Shadow Garden.
Good answer, good answer.
There you go.
First question of the night in the midst of this. What happened last time?
I actually remember, because it was very impactful for Charlie.
You killed a Pokemon.
It was.
Charlie did not kill a Pokemon. Nilly did. Which, I'm sure, is not doing good things for her psychologically. Anyway. So we came across a Ravager Scolipede fighting against three Sizzlipede, and they all had taken some damage. One of the Sizzlipede bit Nilly, and so she countered that literally and like made it explode, and then Charlie caught the Scolipede, but then we came across our destination. Like it was a ranch or like a I don't know, my brain does not remember where we went, but wherever we went,
it was the city with the Duke. Was it a city? No, oil rigs.
Something. Oil rigs.
Encampment, yeah. Near oil rigs.
Yes, there we go.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, and they said, "Oh, you got a Ravager Pokemon? Let us see." I was like, "Okay, I'll show you." And then it was a regular Whirlipede.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Is that a good summary, Nick?
That's pretty much what it is. So that's where you are. You're in this encampment that's been kind of guarding these oil rigs, slash also trying to deal with the Ravager Pokemon, and you've just discovered that the Ravager that you thought you caught was apparently not a real Ravager, which complicates matters.
Well, can we find out more about that? So, like, because if I remember correctly, we just ended in, like, that's what happened. So, like, can we talk with those people?
Duke Porter, who is there with it, and the person you've been kind of dealing with more, goes, "All right, so, well, you all seem tired. You've been in the middle of a fight, so let's get you settled and rested up, and we'll keep on moving from there, all right? So, just follow me." And as he starts walking, one of the other people's like, "Duke, you know the center's that way." He says, "Oh, I know. These people just need a couple things taken care of, and then I'm going to send them out. We've got a mission to go." And he keeps walking and kind of gestures for you to follow.
Intuition?
Intuition.
Okay, Charlie, I'll do it too.
Me too.
I'm not sure how up for intuition Charlie is right now, but we'll throw it anyway.
20.
20? Wow.
15.
15, not bad.
14.
Ooh.
All of you realize that Duke has an ulterior motive for bringing you this way. He bears no ill will towards you, however.
Okay. I hope we can get some answers to what's going on here. May I follow?
Yeah, Charlie goes as well.
Yep. Liliana too.
Sounds good. So all three of you are following along. Duke kind of takes you to one of the bigger tents. It looks like this is probably like a cafeteria or a mess hall type area, but you're in kind of mid-afternoon when you're here, so you're not in between the lunch and dinner, so there's not very many people around there, and he just starts getting food and other supplies putting in front of you to just heal you guys up. So you and do any of your Pokemon have more than two injuries?
Nilly has two and Bernie has one.
The food and the supplies that he's getting you will allow you to heal up to full HP and heal two injuries for whatever you have. Eat them and deal with and work with them. So you can get yourselves up to full. So as you guys are sitting down and doing this, Duke's like, "Well, sorry for dragging you away over there, but or in the middle of a bunch of things. It's kind of logistics. So, and your trainers, we don't really have the measure of you. I know you guys can fight and you can do well, but there's still a little bit of a deal going on. So I'm actually asking you to take care of something maybe tangential for us, if you could.
Okay.
Well, yeah, maybe. Can you tell us, like, what, like, apparently you encountered, like, this not, like, the Ravager not being a Ravager thing before? Like, what's the deal with that?
As far as we can tell, there's, well, at first we thought there was quite a number of Scolipede who shouldn't really be traveling together or working throughout the things. They can swarm every once in a while, but generally they're a little more solitary, but they were going about and acting quite like Ravagers, and people caught them just as you did, and people, fainted them as they could, but every time they did, what popped out was usually a Whirlipede, and didn't have the Ravager issues, which means, well, I don't know how much you guys are up on your history, but 300 years ago, there's not too much information that was lost. I mean, better than half of the people who dealt with the Ravagers at the last time were gone by the end of it. So, we're missing a few things, but it seems like we're fairly certain there is a Ravager, but we can't know if there's more than one, or if it's one of these Scolipede that we're dealing with or something else going on. But we're holding them at the moment and kind of dealing with what we can. And we're going to keep on pushing forward. And as part of that, we're kind of trying to clear out the issues and other concerns in the area without, you know, causing too much issue.
Has it only been Scolipede, or has other Pokemon has happened with them too?
Only Scolipede so far, so that's part of what we're hoping for, that it's one of them that's kind of influencing the rest, something like a, well, you know, Beedrill have their queen, maybe it's something like that.
Hmm.
Dealing with.
But. You said you're dealing with other problems too that you're trying to clear out?
It's a little hard to say in problems, because they're just, you know, Pokemon that are living in the area, and we want to clear them out, and some of them cleared out, some of them don't want to, and some of them could be helpful, but are, you know, doing their own thing, and that's one of them that I'm sending you towards. There's a patch of woods nearby, just a little patch, but about half of those woods aren't actually trees, if you understand my meaning. And those could be rather useful.
They're pseudo-woodo?
Precisely. So you sound like quite the professor there.
Don't inflate his ego anymore.
quick out of character comments. Do you guys remember that you're in disguise?
Oh, I... sound like a I know very little about Pokemon. I just yep. Okay, go on about these things.
He likes to think he's a professor and pretend he's crazy old man.
Right. Well, these pseudo-woodo, well, rock types are pretty good against both rock and rock types are good against bug, and they're pretty decent against poison as well, so they could be a decent backup, or at least getting cleared out of the way. But it seems like these pseudo-woodo have developed some sort of odd relationship with some other Pokemon in the area. I don't know much about these ones. They leave some awful big footprints here and there, but we don't really see them that terribly often. Well, I haven't gone too close myself. I've just been getting information from the area, but We're trying to see if we can broker some kind of relationship with the two of them, or at least get them to clear out so that we can move through their woods without worrying about one thing or another going on. And so that's why I'm sending you there, not to deal with them, and hopefully things can be taken care of more or less calmly, but just to make sure that they won't be a problem when we're actually, you know, setting things up to deal with the Scolipede.
Interesting. Well, you know that we are Pokemon trainers and we take jobs like this. So you're, just so I understand the terms right, you would like us to capture some Sudowoodo and clear out some of the other Pokemon?
I don't know if we need to go so formal as to capture them, if you understand. They're dealing with their own thing. It's mostly just to see if we can get them to either let us by so that they know we're coming through, or even if we can persuade them to help us out. I mean, the Scolipede are as much their problem as ours if they get this far.
That's true.
Why are you even trying to clear out the areas in the first place? Why not just go elsewhere?
Well, in the first place, and he kind of gestures with his head back towards where the oil rigs are, those are a mite hard to move. And we're under some contracts to deal with them.
Not if you try hard enough or have the right Pokemon.
They'd lose their effectiveness if they were moved as well, which kind of defeats the purpose. But that's part of it. I suppose, well, I guess this is something of a good thing. I, maybe an understanding thing, but after all the circumstances here, that you understand, I'm not advocating this position, but after the circumstances the last few days, be careful about expressing some things that might be considered D sentiments. People are a little touchy, and they shouldn't be, of course, but, you know, there's some rough and tumble people in the area, and there's some back and forth at the moment, but we're trying to deal with them as we see fit and to get things through. But that's a big part of it. The other thing is just that they're living here too, and we'd rather have them live and let live. Again, that's more of the one thing or the other people should really understand, but it works fairly well. But we'd rather them not become a complication in the battle ahead, and instead either be an asset or be off the board, so to speak.
How do you expect them to help? Like, would you want them to, like, clear a path? Like, maybe, like, make, like, a, like, fencing or something? Like, what do you expect these things to do?
To put it simply, if they made sure any scallopede that went through their woods didn't come out, and any of us that went through their woods came out the other side, that'd be more than enough. Then I wouldn't have to worry about guarding that particular area.
Makes sense. I think that's perhaps something we can do. Poses an interesting challenge.
If you're up for it, can get you some supplies here. I can't say name your price, but if you've got some ideas, then we can work through it.
3 master balls, please.
and a snag machine.
Was that said out loud as a joke or not?
No. Okay. No.
It was an out-of-character joke.
Okay.
Trying to think about, like, what supplies we would... I guess, what supplies would we need now that we're, like, kind of, you know, trying to stay undercover and whatnot? What other things could we use?
I mean, do we need more medical stuff? I think I'm pretty well stocked up right now.
Also, whether we realize or not, Duke does a huge favor not bringing us to the center. Because if we went to the center, we'd, like, alert the the futurists to our whereabouts. So,
yeah. Right.
So we could probably use some healing supplies. I need to open up the documents. Nick, what are your thoughts on, like, more, like, battle-specific items? Like, I'm talking, like, I don't know, assault vest or, like, something, something that would help us more, like, long-term battle-wise.
Since they are gearing up for a fight, they are both going to have that and be less willing to part with it. So you'd have to convince it, but it's available is the way I would say so, depending on what you're looking for. The other thing, while you're taking care of this and you're kind of thinking it through, if you're willing, I can grab some of the excess Pokeballs that you have on you. And I see, son, you've got a couple extra more than the regulation 6. It's not that it's that much of a concern, but it does, you know, keep some eye contact, and I can get them in place if you need them.
Oh, you noticed that, did you?
Anyone who deals with Pokemon on a regular basis kind of counts the number of Pokeballs on a person's belt.
Yeah, it happens.
Sure. I'm guessing that from our intuition check before that he, like, this seems pretty much on the level.
Yeah, he does not seem to be against any of you.
Okay. Charlie, fairly, and I think Charlie isn't necessarily the most suspicious person to begin with. So he's like, yeah, hey, that'd be great. And he gives him, I think he has the Hatrim and the Whirlipede. Gives him those Pokeballs.
That works.
And Sneeze hands over the Pokeballs for the Zoroark and Gorgeist.
Zoroark and Gorgeist, okay. Yes, I remember, yep.
I don't think I have any extra Pokeball or Pokemon now.
Yeah, I don't think Liliana caught any extra, so you've got your 6. So he takes them with a nod of thanks and eats them as well. I don't want to push you on your way. You can feel free to eat, but I've got some other things in hand, and if you want to consider what you want on your way there and back, I mean... You know, things are pretty green light at the moment, but we're shading towards the yellow and the red. We're maybe a little closer to a chartreuse at the moment, but we'll get going as we can.
Charlie looks up.
Duke is looking at you as he says it, and then he walks out.
Intuition.
Okay.
I just, like, what's the deal with that is what I'm trying to intuit.
Why is everybody Holy able to crap. Look for his things?
On 5 dice, I rolled 4 sixes and a 2.
So, wow.
So let me read this gentleman's mind. 26,
so,
by the way.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so with that loot, look, Duke knows who you are, who all of you are, knows what that means, and has information on it, and is deliberately keeping it from the rest of the camp for reasons you do not know at the moment. But he walks out the door.
All right, so Charlie shares that with Liliana. He's like, guys, like, you heard him say my name, right? You heard him say that, didn't you? Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Like he knows who we are, and for whatever reason, he's not letting everyone else know about it. So like,
well, he doesn't seem to have any ill will.
It's too late now, but just for future reference, you have a novice intuition. You shouldn't be rolling five dice. You should be rolling.
What? Did I look at the wrong line? I'm sorry.
How convenient.
Are you sure about that?
It's the Charlie Fancy sheet, right?
Yeah, Charlie Fancy.
Yep, intuition is novice. Perception is expert.
Okay. I looked at the wrong line. I apologize.
No worries. Future reference for this.
Yes, absolutely.
See? He just had a sudden stroke of inspiration.
Just a moment. You rolled a 26 on three dice.
On three dice,
that's amazing.
Unbelievable, in fact.
And this is the math.
Inconceivable.
Keep using that word. In my defense, we haven't done this for a while, and intuition is right next to perception.
It's right there.
He gave you directions to where you were going before he left, by the way, so you actually know where you're going. That was my mistake.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, anyways, Charlie finishes like...
Duke Porter is more competent than I am, so he actually does the right thing.
Duke Porter is a better GM.
But yeah, Charlie relays that information that, like, Duke Porter knows what the deal is. And,
good.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know why. Like, maybe he has some other reason for, like, not telling anybody yet. But, like, he's doing all this intentionally, guys.
And he seems to be letting you know that he knows.
Why would he have this information and then let us know about it? I don't know. I don't trust him. Also, too, this whole thing with moving all of the Pokemon out of their area, they were here first. And so, yeah, I know that's not a very popular opinion around here, but I don't know. It just gives me a headache to think that we should be moving all of them.
Well, he didn't quite say that. Like, if we can approach this and, like, get some diplomas, what's the thing? Talk to the Sudowoodo good. Like, Sneeze, you talk to Pokemon real good.
Diplomacy with the...
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, if we do that and talk to them real good, like, we'll just, like, have them, like, whack the Scolipede, which, I mean, they're rock types, which is a good thing. And they don't have to move necessarily. They just gotta, like, knock out Scolipedes and let the people through.
Charlie Pine, master level charm, does not know the word diplomacy.
That's part of his charm.
Exactly.
my English English score is like a one. So like, give me a break.
I think our aim is mostly to get them into a sort of symbiotic relationship, so that it's people and Pokemon working together.
I don't know about this, because. Do you guys remember when we were all separated?
Which time?
Yeah, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Just recently?
Yes. Right.
I don't know. It's almost like I just listened to an episode of this or something. But no.
I was like, which time? In Landsmeet? After we went through the chutes?
When like just 5 seconds ago during the snowstorm.
Oh, that was that time.
Yeah, that time. That time. There was a Pokemon that... Wait, did I know what Pokemon it was? Yeah, I did. Did I? Yeah. What was it? Pattern?
I don't know if you ever got the Pokemon...
I don't know if I ever did.
No, you did. You have three Pokemon, so you figured out it was Hatterin. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Hatterin. There was a wild Hatterin that came and spoke to me and told me that we should be trying to... get the people out so the Pokemon can have their land back. And I don't know what that thing is going to do if we don't follow its directions, because it seemed pretty upset. And not gonna lie, I'm kind of on the side for nature, which I know seems weird because I'm a city girl, but still, I don't know. I like nature by heart. What can I say? A sucker for the green stuff.
There were, however, you know, while we were separated, I also encountered some Pokemon that were concerned about the encroaching of some meddling pest Pokemon. And my guess is that has to do with this Ravager situation. That's not a natural thing that we can just leave be. So, in the effort of removing the Ravagers, I think this is a good task.
I came across two Pokemon that said my thoughts were loud.
Yeah, same here.
Okay.
I think we met some of the same Pokemon. So, okay, fine. I'm fine with dealing with a Ravager Pokemon, because, yeah, they seem not great. But what are we making way for, then?
Well, the Sudowoodo would probably be nice.
Well, yeah, the Sudowoodo, but what else? Because if all of the humans are taking in all of this empty space and the oil rigs are coming in then, too...
I think Liliana's still making very good points, but the two things I would say is that the oil rigs have been here for a while. This isn't a new creation of them. They are being menaced by the Ravager Pokemon, and there's less of a feeling of we're getting rid of these Pokemon and more of a feeling of we're getting these Pokemon out of the area so they aren't caught up in the crossfire. What might happen afterwards is still a legitimate concern. It's worth asking. But the way Duke Porter was presenting it was we're getting these things out of the way, not we're removing them from their location.
Okay, I misunderstood. Sorry.
No worries. No worries. And especially from the Chan versus D side, that's a very much a stance of why do they have to get out of the way? Is very much a D thought process. So that works very well. But
all right. Well, I'm the odd man out. So let's go ahead and do it, I guess. If we get something good out of it, then I'm happy.
Find the Sudowoodo.
Let's do it.
All right, so as you guys get going, you're leaving the tent. You're walking through the camp. Professor Sneeze, you start to notice that the tension. So the tension in the camp is high, which is understandable. They're getting ready to fight Ravager Pokemon. Those are things that literally remember 60% of an army got destroyed by them 300 years ago. They're in the level of terrifying. So they're working with those things. They're going through that, but. You also notice that the tension's getting higher as you walk by. It doesn't seem to be directly related to the three of you as who you are, but more related to the fact you start noticing that eyes are flicking to your eyes and your hair, and Liliana's eyes and hair, and looking at Charlie's eyes and hair, things seem to ratchet down slightly. Professor Sneeze, can you make a guess as to why that might be?
I think we look too normal.
What does that mean in this world?
I guess we look D and not Chan.
You look D.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's more tense than you'd expect even from this area, as though something recently ratcheted up the tension. You also remember Duke Porter mentioned in the current situation these things are going on. There's always been a little bit of tension, but there have been 300 years of more integrating and going through. This is new.
Well, then Charlie's going to roll a perception, and what Charlie's looking for is noticing these looks and whatnot. Or did Professor Sneeze notice the looks?
Professor Sneeze is the only one who had the intuition check to notice.
Okay. Then Charlie's not going to do his thing.
For passive intuition. So he's the one who's noticed at the moment.
They're kind of looking at us funny. I mean, not you, Charlie, so much, but mostly me and Liliana. Something seems to be heightening the tension between the Chan and D. And I don't know what it is.
I think most people look at you funny.
They're looking at you funny, too.
Well, let's ask somebody then. So Charlie's going to roll up. Now we're going to roll a perception. To see if there's anyone who seems approachable enough to, like, tell us what's going on. Perception is a 10.
On 5 dice?
Yep.
That's impressive.
Ooh. Yuck.
You used your good roll.
Right. I have 3 2s and then a 3 and a 1.
Ooh.
So.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gross.
So, a couple things as you're kind of looking through and you're paying a little more attention. You keep getting like snatches of like muttering conversation as people go by, but all you're getting from it is for some reason they're talking about flowers and then laughing amongst each other, or maybe windmills. You're not exactly sure. There's kind of a weird two-sided thing for it. But you see a couple people, like everyone seems to be about their work. These are oil rig workers and other people nearby. So they're hardier people who are kind of doing their work, getting things done. But you see a couple that you might be able to go up and approach, especially being Charlie. And just being like, sure, people will talk.
So Charlie then approaches someone like maybe a younger-ish person who seems relatively willing to talk. And
hello, young person.
I'm a young person too, as you see.
How does Charlie define younger person?
A baby.
Yes,
baby.
Excuse me, sir, where are the babies on this oil rig?
Oh boy.
No. By younger, Charlie would think, you know, someone like younger than his parents, we'll say. Like I expect there wouldn't be many people as young as Liliana, but I'm guessing they'd be older than Liliana, younger than his parents.
You have to give someone the benefit of the doubt to meet that criteria.
Okay,
is the way I'll say it. So you're already thinking, well, this person might be older than my parents, but I'm going to pretend they're younger, and that's how you go up to them. Or might be the same age as my parents.
All right. So Charlie's going to roll along with this here. I'm going to approach this person. I'm going to roll a charm check in a moment here, but Charlie just kind of like comes up and taps him on the shoulder, like, hey, sir, question for you, if you don't mind me asking, like, we noticed, like, some people are, like, looking at my friends, like, what's the deal? I should roll that charm, shouldn't I?
Yes.
You can't just ask people what their deal is.
I didn't ask him what his deal was, just what the deal was. It's a 22. 22 in charm.
22 in charm, okay. The man gives you a long level look, and Professor Sneeze, you see this person making up their mind that this is young and stupid, not young and impertinent.
That's how we all operate around here.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I can't be mad. Can't even be mad.
Little phantom.
Just.
Good callback. Good callback.
And so, he kind of looks and goes, "You youngster, you don't you read the newspaper?"
No.
He can't read.
Yes. Gives a long-suffering sigh and just a little bit of, like, a suspicious-slash-dirty look at Liliana for saying something. And then turns and goes, "Hey, Clem, you done with the paper?" And a man who is sitting there goes, "Yeah, almost. I'm getting through the classified." "You work in an oil rig, Clem. Give me the paper." So, with some grumbling is the paper, and he just shoves it, not as harshly as he could have, but just directly into Charlie's chest. And he goes, "Read that," and then he goes about his business.
What's it say?
Well, first Charlie says, "Liliana, like, give me a break. I'm working on Hooked on Theonics, so, like, leave me alone."
Liliana? Who's Liliana?
We're by ourselves now.
Oh, I didn't know
you are outdoors. You are outdoors, still in the camp.
Oh, well, okay. Did you ever have a code name, by the way?
I think my name was Liam.
Liam. Yep, you all gave Duke Porter code names when you first met him.
Gotcha. Can we just retcon and said that he called me that?
Yes, that's fine.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be out of this quickly.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm trying to make the joke about, you know, hooked on Fionn. Yeah,
it was good.
Appreciate my puns, dang it. All right. Anyways, so we look at the newspaper.
Right on the front of the newspaper is a picture of something that you recognize from about a month or two ago. Do you remember at Clear Lake City, you...
A month or two ago.
In-game. Sorry. In-game.
I know. That was a month or two ago.
Oh, boy. But...
Oh, man.
So, at Clear Lake City, you followed... some Cottony and ran into some Nuzleaf, mm-hmm. who let you go past, and you found an odd metallic flower-like device that was sitting in the middle of a field. The picture shows that flower-like device, but it is no longer in the field. It is obviously been dug up, and there are long wires and pipes and things underneath it, and it is on a ship that is going across the Clear Lake from the picture that you can guess. And there is also a large crowd that does not look tremendously happy watching the ship leave from the Clear Lake side. Getting from the picture and from the things there, you get that apparently about just a couple of days ago, maybe no more than three or four, so just about the same time as you escaped from the Futurist facility, maybe a day or two after... The scientists in the area of Clear Lake were joined by a few others from the Chan area who went forward and dug up this artifact and are shipping it back to, are shipping it to the Landsmead area for study over the protests of Clear Lake and the area.
So why are they looking at us funny then?
Because as you read farther in, there is a public statement from the Flames of Agni. Oh. That seems to be from someone who was in the crowd of the people of Clear Lake and was being listened to.
Hmm.
Apparently this going in, tearing apart something that was obviously in place for a very long time and was built to be in at least unity or harmony with the natural area has caused some people south of the mountains to... be a little more, or be a little less, I guess a little more tolerant of one side and a little less of the other, shall we say.
So basically what we're saying is that the D in general are being seen as terrorists and these guys are being racist, basically.
Could say that.
You could say that.
I could say that. I mean, don't these people understand you just, I mean, it's obviously better to live south of the mountain. You can't die there.
Make a shockingly good point.
Oh boy.
That's why Sneeze is so old.
Why do you think I've been so nervous?
Boy.
That's great. Okay. Okay, well, I mean, there's not a lot we can do about that.
No, that's some information to maybe file away for ourselves so that we kind of know what's going on a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe I should dye my hair.
Or I could wear my cap. He hands it over to, offers it to Sneeze.
I'd say the biggest thing
aren't I wearing a hat?
You were, yes. So they're kind of like they're flicking at what little bits of hair you can see. All of you are kind of wearing hats and caps and things, so they're kind of working with that. But
it wasn't completely covering my hair, but
yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the biggest thing from this would be that if things continue to go as they are, since both. The Futurists and the Flames of Agni seem to be actively trying to antagonize each other. The Futurists have been a little more active with it, what with the attack on on Lower Bastion. What was the name? Lower Bastion? I'm not remembering the name of it at the moment. The ranger headquarters south of the mountains.
Yeah. Loki.
Thank you. Yep.
Yes.
With the attack on Lowkeep and now this, they seem to be more proactive with it, but the Flames of Agni are rather, not necessarily ironically, but rather funnily stoking the flames. So...
Also, quick side note for the for those actually folks, when I was referencing our separations, we were not separated in Landsmeet, we were actually separated in Lowkeep, I misspoke, so...
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
No worries.
Way to get out ahead of the haters.
Exactly, yes.
Yes.
But you know our extremely volatile community who is going to slaughter us for any mistake that we make.
That's right.
True.
That's right. Yep. They're so mean.
The other thing you can note with this is...
I'm just going to shake.
You've all had different...
The tour is over.
Go on, Nick.
None Kansas City.
Two of you have had interactions with legendaries.
True.
What were those legendaries?
Zekrom.
Yeah. And Reshiram.
And Reshiram.
When do they appear? A cult education check you can do, or...
Can I just do a memory check? Just how well does Charlie remember this?
Sure.
No, I'll still roll the occult ed.
Check my notes.
It's when the leaders are around, right? The leaders are near when they show up.
It seems like that could be part of it, but.
But let's roll the occult just to make sure here. That is 24 on 6 dice.
24 on 6 dice. Okay. You don't need nearly that much, but it's a couple of things that tells you that can tell you basically the whole history of them, or at least as much as known from mythology. But the main thing for it is that they appear for clashing ideologies, and the more sharply those ideologies clash, and the more strongly active they become. The Flames of Agni and the Futurist are at best, like, they're going to be antagonistic, but they aren't opposites by their basic nature. Or at least they aren't complete opposites. But both sides seem to be trying to become opposites.
I'm thinking that Reshiram and Zekrom might be goading the two sides into a harsher fight.
There's that, or they tend to appear and they tend to appear and just lend strength. They don't usually tend to push. So it might be either that they are goading them, or each side is actively doing this to evoke them.
Mm.
Okay.
This is an aside for it as you think through and go through things, but the best way to deal if both Reshiram and with a 24, you know, the best way to deal with both Reshiram and Zekrom if both of them appeared...
Kill them.
Reshiram... No.
Rayquaza with a steel chair?
Here's a simple problem, Professor Sneeze, with that idea. Charlie would know that unless they are fighting each other, they cannot die by other means. They both have the rivalry aura, which means that they cannot
south of the mountain.
Which means they cannot be dropped below 1 HP by anyone except someone who has the rivalry aura. Do we need to stop?
Nope.
Okay.
No one. I'm done. Yes, the rivalry aura, and that was something that we had discussed earlier when we learned about their auras. Because I was fighting Reshiram, and that was a thing.
So the best way to deal with them, as he would know from a 24 on the roll, is to get Kyurem, which you only know of because of the 24 on the roll, as the shell of the two Reshiram and Zekrom, or supposedly, but is able to combine with one or the other, therefore gaining enough power that one side or the other would win, or, if Kyurem was active to do it, would simply end the conflict by joining one and making it a moot point.
Can I roll a Pokemon Ed on Kyurem? If that's... Like, I'm assuming this information is being shared.
Charlie's bringing it up and kind of talking through it. Sure.
Yeah. Just see what I know about Kyurem. 21.
21. All right. It's a little bit difficult because this is a legendary Pokemon, which is more legendary and secretive than many others. In fact, its existence is a rarity. It doesn't seem to show up nearly as often as Reshiram and Zekrom do. Whether that's because Charlie would know that that's because it simply stopped taking part in the fights more often than not. It has to be goaded to join. Otherwise, it just stays out of it because it can't deal. Like, because it's both of them, it considers part of it. So it's kind of hard to take one side or the other unless there's a point for it. But the biggest thing you know, so you said 21 for yours?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You would know that it is a dragon and ice type, the biggest thing.
Do we know the last time that Kirim had shown up?
The Chandy region and going through it. This is all mists of antiquity, I would say for it. Reshiram and Zekrom had a fair amount of appearances in Chan and D, but actually the biggest time they appeared was just as the Chan Empire started going after the D. But the Chan Empire was large enough that the two fighting was almost irrelevant, and the Chan Empire won that fight. After that, the balance of power never shifted enough for them to appear again, and then the Chandy region joined as one region. So it's mostly myths of antiquity. It also is the fact that Reshiram and Zekrom are not... The story of them is not native to this region. It has just appeared here. So they're worldwide and they go to other conflicts, but it's not... They did not originate in the Chandy region, as far as you know. But anyways, you're all on your way out to Grove the Sudowoodo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
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 Sorry, Paul slash Charles just thinking about, like, is there a way that we could prevent anyone from getting to Kirim, but that's a thought for another time. Let's go handle some Sudowoodo.
Do we get to keep the newspaper?
Yeah, no one took it back. So unless you want to give it back, you have the newspaper. So
nope, classifieds.
Charlie takes it and does the Pokedoku.
Give me a Pokemon education check.
No.
We're doing it. That's a 7 in Pokemon Ed.
7 Pokemon education check. Uniqueness of 500. 6 squares.
Okay, not bad. I got 7 once. It was pretty good. I was pretty stoked about the 7 I got one time.
Nice.
But all right. So you guys make your way. You get out of the camp, and you keep on going. Eventually, you're getting to it's about west southwest of the camp is where you're going to the area, and it's just this little clump of trees. Most of them are kind of small, twisted, stunted. Can I get perception checks from everyone?
Mm.
Yep.
7.
19.
Oh, I also got 19.
Sorry, I did not hear that for some reason. Thank you. 7, 19, 19. Okay. Mm-hmm. To all of you, they look like trees.
That's a forest, all right. I think we're in the right place.
What you do notice as you get closer, however, are several figures on top of these trees or climbing around them or near them. They are white-furred creatures kind of moving around. They look like, it looks for a second like they have 2 very long legs and 4 very short legs. But as you get closer, you realize that the longer legs are more like arms. And these are white-furred creatures. There's blue on their lower, light blue on their lower legs and on their arms, but the arms is interspersed with a pattern of darker blue that looks like huge paw prints. And then there's a darker blue belly with lighter blue stripes, a kind of infinity symbol on their chest in dark blue, and then a wide mouth with 2 square teeth on the top. Over a light blue face with kind of a pointed nose, 2 big eyes, and then a blonde, like, it looks like the top of, like, a straw house for their hair, of, like, a blonde thatch with, like, 2 little twigs on top there. As you get closer, none of you have any Pokemon out or anything at the moment, right?
Katana's on my back, but that's it.
Okay, besides Katana, yep. So, as you get closer...
I would say Grunge and Ruse, as usual, for me.
Is Ruse in her girl form?
Yeah, in her little girl form.
As you get closer... 4 of these figures, because they look and they see 4 humans to them, they detach themselves from the trees and they kind of race out towards you. And they all kind of like look around and are kind of moving back and forth. And then they seem to get into a fist fight. It's not an actual like, they're not using actual moves, but they're kind of like pushing and shoving at each other until one of them wins, or seemingly wins, and immediately rushes over and starts trying to climb up Liliana.
No, I am not a tree. No, thank you. I am not a tree. No, Is it hurting me or it's just climbing?
It's just trying to climb, but it is very strong.
Gonna
get a Pokemon education check from everyone.
It's an 11.
20.
10.
11, 20, 10. Okay, one more quick thing from this. All of these Pokemon are the height of Professor Sneeze. So they're only a few inches shorter than Liliana, and it's still trying to climb you.
I was wondering about that when you said they were climbing the forest.
It gets really odd for a moment there, but...
You've got a man-sized Pokemon climbing on you.
Yeah, it's just like... The thing is, like, it looks so determined at what it's doing that all you can be is like, stop it. What are you doing?
But I'm getting the vibe of, like, it's like a puppy who's no longer a puppy, but is, like, something that's a puppy.
Yes. Professor Sneeze, you know these Pokemon because they're a little bit, they're not tremendously rare, but you usually have to go much farther north, once again, to see them. These are Crabominable.
Oh, okay.
The evolved form of Crabrawlers. These are fighting and ice-type Pokemon that generally live on high mountains and are obsessed with getting as high as they possibly can. They also seem to see, like, height and getting taller as almost a form of, like, proving themselves superior. So while they don't climb on top of each other, when they run into new things, they will sometimes try to, and new people, they will sometimes try to climb up on top of them to prove that they're better and to get their head higher than them. So they're kind of ignoring, well, the other three are still kind of getting into a fist fight, but they don't, none of them want to get close to Professor Sneeze or to Small Ruse because they're already as tall or taller than Professor Sneeze, so they don't feel the need to climb in. But that's kind of seems to be their thing at the moment. And it's just them, like, they can be talked with, but they're a little single-minded. So it's kind of like, okay, how do we get them to focus?
Liliana, you might just need to, you know, be a platform for them to climb up high.
Hello, friends. I refuse. I don't like this. You're so fat. Get off of me. Can I do, like, not a strength check. Well, I don't know.
Athletics.
You could do an athletics. There's a, let me see if I can find it. A push maneuver or a trip maneuver you could do.
Yeah, I was just trying to think like struggle or something or.
A struggling with it. So you could push it or trip it. So a push maneuver would be opposed combat or athletics checks. A trip maneuver would be opposed combat or acrobatics trip.
I'll go with acrobatics. That one's better.
Acrobatics. Okay.
I got 14 for that.
No, we've had this ruling before, but just to be... I don't know if we've actually talked about this. Since it's opposed combat or acrobatics checks, can this Abomasnow oppose with both... Or sorry, Crabominable. Not Abomasnow, two different Pokemon. Crabominable, can it oppose with its combat or acrobatics, or must it do acrobatics versus acrobatics?
I think it can choose. Yeah. I think it can do either.
Yeah.
Okay. Then it will use combat because it does much better with combat.
Because it's like, you know, the difference between like I'm just using brute force and then I'm using a technique to block and stuff.
So you said...
Or if it was force versus, you know...
You said 14 is what you rolled?
Yes.
Okay, it rolled a 17 to oppose you. Since you were the one doing the trip, you don't get tripped. But it basically, like, just, like, as you go to trip it, it, like, grabs. You realize that the paw print on the front of its arm is actually the front of its claw. So the claw just unhinges down from the front of the paw and just grabs onto your hands.
Ooh.
And it kind of looks up at you like...
Ow. Okay. Nope. Hey, I'm done. Hey, Liliana just flops on the ground.
I was going to say, at this point, Actually, okay, with we'll go with that. I was about to ask for either a social role or an initiative, or we'd start going by initiative, but that's pretty good. So it just looks at you like, and you see it kind of look, and it puts one of its like little leg claws on your stomach, and then looks back at the others, and they all kind of take a moment to kind of, you see them go, okay, fine, and then they resume their fist fight to see who gets to climb Charlie.
Charlie, lie down on the ground!
Take him down! I'll place bets!
Professor Sneeze goes down on the ground and lies down. Just like this! Lie down! Then they won't want to climb you.
Trying to decide if Charlie wants to just, like, talk to them, play with them, or... Yeah, Charlie goes, hi, guys, and, like, kind of reaches out his hand, like, starts patting their heads.
Okay.
Charlie's not intimidated by it. He's like, oh, yeah, these guys are just, they just want to play.
I don't like how they play.
They're obsessed with height, and you're reaching down from above them to pat them on the top of their head. I think one of them grabs your hand with its claw as well.
They don't have fingers, but go ahead.
it grabbed your hand with its claw. Like I said, if you read their Pokedex or the Bulbapedia entry, those paws on the front of their hands are actually the front half of their claws. So those unhinge downwards.
Okay,
and are the claws.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. It's odd, but
it is nasty.
It's just bizarre. Yeah. But it is. So they go and they. So it snaps at it there and it's like and goes and actually can you give me an acrobatics or combat check please because it is going to try to trick you.
I assume acrobatics. I mean, yeah, acrobatics is as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. That's a good roll. That is a 10 and another 17, 27.
So it rolled 12 to trip you. So it goes to yank, like it yanks down with its arm to trip you, and you basically somersault over it and land on your feet.
Oh, you're a tricky boy there.
There's a moment of just them kind of looking at you. Do you want to converse with them? Or do you just...
Professor Sneeze is going to say, hello, friends! And he's still lying down. His face is in the dirt. Hello, friends! We're here to talk with you and be friends with you.
I'm just imagining at the word friends, Grunge's ears just prick up.
Mm-hmm. Grunge, like, friends?
Yes!
Good.
Yes, Grunge, friends. Go make friends.
We're not a threat.
They look at you, and the other two kind of look at each other, and then, or the other three, the one that's holding on to Charlie is still there. The other two look at each other, and you see them kind of shrug, and then one of them walks over and puts its claw on Professor Sneeze's back, since his face is to the dirt. And like, okay, I'm claiming this one. And the other one walks up to Ruse, and the little girl for him lifts up one of its paws and thunks into Ruse higher up than it expects, and kind of looks. Meanwhile, the other one is still trying to climb you, Charlie. Can I get how smart are these things? Just another opposed athletic or acrobatics or combat check.
Yep.
Well, this still has to beat a 29.
It got 19, so it's a little harder this time, but you managed to... Wow, 6 dice. You're really rolling well on this. But you managed to flip over it. Liliana, how do you think Ruse would react to this Crabominable, now realizing that there's something here that might be taller than it expects, immediately trying to grab a hold of her in her illusion?
I feel like she's going to try it. Like, I mean, at this point, she's not going to be able to play it off because it knows, but I think she's going to use that to her advantage and just kind of like turn to it with a mischievous grin and see how she can mess with it before the other ones notice too.
Okay, so it's going to actually grab at her, so
or she would just try to start climbing it instead, I would think. So what I do acrobatics for her?
Let's say she's trying to like jump up on top of it immediately. So yes, give me a quick acrobatics check.
Yeah. Okay. 16.
16. All right. It doesn't realize fast enough what she's going to do. And now there is a little girl perched on top of this thing's head. And so there's a moment as like that one's trying to tug down Charlie. The other two are standing on top of Liliana and Professor Sneeze. And now suddenly Ruse is on top of one of their heads. And that one just kind of, you see just for a second, frost start to ring around its claw. And then it swings towards its head with an ice punch.
Thank you for joining us this week. You probably thought this was going to be Nick, but it's not. You remember last month when I said that I was going to upload part one of this super long episode, and then I didn't because I just lost track of everything. I'm sorry. But anyways, here I am to give you part one, as you've already heard, and stay tuned for part two. Sorry about that again. Thank you guys for your patience and understanding, though, too. I really appreciate it. But anyways, thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapestryradio.org/Pokemon-rollout, on X at PokeRoll Podcast, and on Facebook, facebook.com/PokeRollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Taproom. As long as you're not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There you can join the conversation with creators and fans and become a part of the Pokemon Rollout community. Also, follow our network on X at Tapestry Radio and check out some of our other great shows at tapestryradio.org, like Intermission, Michael and Ethan in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. A special thank you to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles. And feel free to check the show notes for the other music and sound effects used in this episode. Once again, I'm Lydia, and I don't use X. I don't think Nick really does either, but here's his handle anyways, at PokeRollNick. Paul is at PropSnag, and Michael is at MG Lilienthal, which is spelled L-I-L-I-E-N-T-H-A-L, woo, with an MG at the beginning. You can follow me on Twitter at BehindYourEyelie. That's behind your E-Y-E-L-I. That's my Eiley impression. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollout, tell a friend, retweet us. Re-X us? Retweet us? Is it still retweet, or is it X us? Cross us! Cross us! And especially, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon. patreon.com/PokeRollPodcast and get some sweet rewards. Special thanks to our patrons, Dr. Audino, Kyle Albert, Peter Stadmuller, Andrew Case, Michael Greenspoon, David Harshman, Taylor Bonforte, that's such a cool last name, Michael, Ask Blood, Zach Parsons, Jeffrey Sho, K.C. DeFritis, Roxas, Andrew Weil, Spencer Toole, Arming Sword and Buckler, Legendary, Starlink, Scotty Newton, Ursa93, Terry Fowl, Julia Egan, Vincent Nazarician, Lauren Paulson, Nathan Hemmelgarn, Lance, Big Fat Nuke, Stephanie Reinauer, Wern the Patronizer, Autumn in April Art, Daniel Mabry, The Gaming Motion Artist, Magical Girl in Training, Justin Brennan, and Ricky Jenkins. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it enough. We really appreciate all that you, the gentle listeners, do for us. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later. I think I hit my microphone.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
TapestryRadio.org.
From our fancy to yours.